optimal minimalism.
At this altitude, I can run flat out for a half mile before my hands start shaking.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Now would have seemed an appropriate time.
What if I did the opposite?
I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
This episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. I get asked all the time what I would take if I could only take one supplement. The answer is invariably Athletic Greens. I view it as all-in-one nutritional insurance. I recommended it, in fact, in the 4-Hour Body. This is more than 10 years ago, and I did not get paid to do so. With approximately 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, you'd be very hard-pressed to find a more nutrient-dense and comprehensive formula on the market. It has multivitamins, multi-mineral greens complex, probiotics and prebiotics for gut health, an immunity formula, digestive enzymes, adaptogens, and much more. I usually take it once or twice a day just to make sure I've covered my bases if I missed anything I'm not aware of. Of course, I focus on nutrient-dense meals to begin with. That's the basis. But Athletic Greens makes it easy to get a lot of nutrition when whole foods aren't readily available. From travel packets, I always have them in my bag when I'm zipping around. Right now, Athletic Greens is giving my audience a special offer on top of their all-in-one formula, which is a free vitamin D supplement and 5 free travel packs with your first subscription purchase. Many of us are deficient in vitamin D. I've found that true for myself, which is usually produced in our bodies from sun exposure. So adding a vitamin D supplement to your daily routine is a great option for additional immune support. Support your immunity, gut health, and energy by visiting athleticgreens.com/TFS. You'll receive up to a year's supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your subscription. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/TFS, as in Tim Ferriss Show. athleticgreens.com/TFS. This episode is brought to you by 5-Bullet Friday, my very own email newsletter. It's become one of the most popular email newsletters in the world with millions of subscribers, and it's super, super simple. It does not clog up your inbox. Every Friday, I send out 5 bullet points, super short, of the coolest things I've found that week, which sometimes includes apps, books, documentaries, supplements, gadgets, new self-experiments, hacks, tricks, and all sorts of weird stuff that I dig up from around the world. You guys, podcast listeners and book readers, have asked me for something short and action-packed for a very long time, because after all, the podcast, the books, they can be quite long. And that's why I created 5-Bullet Friday. It's become one of my favorite things I do every week. It's free. It's always going to be free. And you can learn more at tim.blog/Friday. That's tim.blog/Friday. I get asked a lot how I meet guests for the podcast, some of the most amazing people I've ever interacted with. And little known fact, I've met probably 25% of them because they first subscribed to 5-Bullet Friday. So you'll be in good company. It's a lot of fun. 5-Bullet Friday is only available if you subscribe via email. I do not publish the content on the blog or anywhere else. Also, if I'm doing small in-person meetups, offering early access to startups, beta testing, special deals, or anything else that's very limited, I share it first with 5-Bullet Friday subscribers. So check it out, tim.blog/Friday. If you listen to this podcast, it's very likely that you'd dig it a lot. And you can, of course, easily subscribe anytime. So easy peasy. Again, that's tim.blog/Friday. And thanks for checking it out. If the spirit moves you, and check it out. Hello, boys and girls. This is Tim Ferriss, and welcome to another episode of The Tim Ferriss Show, where it is my job to typically interview world-class performers from all different domains, whether that be sports, military, business, chess, or otherwise, to tease out routines, habits, etc., that you can apply and test in your own life. This episode is a joint episode with Kevin Kelly, one of my favorite people on the planet. You can say hi to him on Twitter at Kevin2Kelly, or go to kk.org to see his writing. Among others, 1,000 True Fans, perhaps the essay I have recommended the most in the world to the most audiences. Now, Kevin might be the real life most interesting man in the world. He sports an Amish beard. He built his own house. He spends many months of the year traveling all over, and I've always wanted to travel with him. We recently had the chance to head to Uzbekistan together, and I jumped at the opportunity. This episode covers some of our favorite travel tools. So who is Kevin? He is senior maverick at Wired Magazine, which he co-founded in 1993. He also co-founded the All Species Foundation, a nonprofit aimed at cataloging and identifying every living species on Earth. That's not a joke. In his spare time, he writes best-selling books, co-founded the Rosetta Project, which is building an archive of all documented human languages, and serves on the board of the Long Now Foundation. As part of the last, he's investigating how to revive and restore endangered or extinct species, including the woolly mammoth. And I guess that would not be part of the last, it would be part of the All Species Foundation. But you get the idea. He's a busy, busy dude. And his newest critically acclaimed book is The Inevitable. That is the title, subtitle, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. As journalist David Pogue has said of Kevin, anyone can claim to be a prophet, a fortune teller, or a futurist, and plenty of people do. What makes Kevin Kelly different is that he's right. He has an impeccable track record. So this episode covers quite a bit of cool stuff, all very actionable. I hope you guys enjoy it. We had a blast recording it in the back of a car in the mountains, and I will let Kevin get to it. This is also being simultaneously published on his Cool Tools podcast, which you guys should check out, and you can find it at kk.org. Enjoy. Mr. Kelly?
Hi, this is Kevin Kelly. I'm sitting in the back of a car crossing a mountain pass about 2,000 meters in the Tenshin Mountains in Uzbekistan. And Uzbekistan is a Central Asian country that's generally south of Russia, north of Afghanistan, and next to all the other stands like Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan. Sitting next to me as we cross the mountains is Tim Ferriss, the legendary exploiter and explainer of world-class performances. And we're going to do a joint recording. Tim's going to tell us about his favorite four cool tools, and we'll find out what he's up to lately. Tim, why don't you tell us about your first cool tool?
Okay, the first cool tool, and we're sitting in the back here, we have bags around us, bottles of water, a bunch of different gadgets and objects piled in my lap. The first that I can talk about is actually in my other piece of luggage. I don't have any checked luggage, and it is a jacket that I roll up and travel with constantly. It's from a brand called Now, N-A-U. I believe it's based in Portland. And you can think of it as a blazer or a riding jacket. And what makes it unique is a number of different factors. A, you can roll it up and throw it on to, say, a black t-shirt, and you look like you're ready for a business dinner or a formal or semi-formal occasion. So it saves me the trouble of packing a lot of collared shirts, for instance. And there are collared shirts that don't wrinkle, but they do take up more space than, say, a black t-shirt. So this Now, and it could be, I have several different models at home, weather resistant. Of course, if it was designed in the Pacific Northwest, you would expect that, which comes in handy. So that would be my first cool tool. Plenty of pockets, but there are lapels, so you can get away with murder. You could wear it in a light rain, or you could wear it at a nice dinner, and it is an incredibly flexible piece of clothing.
So one of the hazards for me, anyway, if I try to roll up a jacket, I never quite get the wrinkles out. So no iron shirts, you can kind of hang in your hot shower and they'll dissipate. How does this work in terms of unwrinkling it, or does it just magically unwrinkle?
So this particular jacket has a number of features, I think, that disguise wrinkles. And there's also just the material science aspect. The fabric blends that are used tend not to wrinkle, number one. Number two, it has folds and pockets and lapels that, for whatever reason, make any wrinkles less noticeable.
Oh, cool.
And then there's the color. So if you want to avoid problems with wrinkles, generally, at least in my experience, you want darker clothing so that under light, you're not having shadows cast across or beneath the wrinkles. So this is a charcoal color jacket.
Uh-huh. It's kind of like your typical suit jacket length, or is it more like a outdoor jacket at the waist?
I would say typical dinner jacket length.
Okay.
So it's not getting cut off, doesn't show off any midriff, for those of you who are looking for that. You're out of luck. Yeah. So you'd be able to see your belt if it were unbuttoned in the front.
Right. Okay. So that's, and it's very lightweight. And about, tell the readers about how big it compresses into.
If you were to roll it up well, and if you want to know how to roll up a jacket like that well, you could actually go online and look at how, say, a judo uniform is folded. And if you roll it up well, you are looking at, let's just say, the bottom three quarters, meaning it'll cover the very bottom fabric of a standard-sized school backpacks. So we're not talking about a hiker's backpack. So if I had to estimate, I would say we're looking at, I get it down to about a roll that is 10 inches in length and about 3 to 4 inches in diameter.
Well, that's very impressive. I carry a lightweight down jacket that compresses into something very small, but it is certainly not as fancy or you know, suitable for a dinner jacket like yours is.
And I mean, a couple other tips for folks, and I'm by no means a hyper minimalist, say Appalachian Trail hiker or anything like that, but I also have, for instance, a synthetic, because I don't want to lose the insulating ability if it gets wet. I have a synthetic down vest that is also stuffed into this backpack, which I can put on top of that sort of fancy looking jacket in the case that I need more warmth.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's a brilliant hack. So again, that's called the Now jacket.
NAU, Now.
Now, okay. And approximately, what's it cost? Just give me a range.
That's a really good question. I bought it a long time ago. It's not cheap, but then again, if you're comparing it to any type of dinner jacket or outdoor jacket, it's not horribly expensive. I'd say it's in the $150 to $350 range, if I had to guess.
Okay, good. That's fantastic. So what else do you have in your backpack, which is stuffed here in the back of our car right now?
In my bag of tricks, I have a Logitech Bluetooth keyboard, and just to put this in perspective, it is about this. It's slightly larger than, say, a paperback book, like a 5x8-inch trim paperback book. It is narrow enough that I will very often stick it into a journal to protect it, meaning it's probably the width of 8 to 10 paperback pages, and it holds a charge very, very well. So I use this oftentimes. If I have any issue with my laptop, I can pair it to my iPhone, which is a larger sized iPhone, and balance the iPhone or lean it against, say, a glass of iced tea, and I can get any type of writing done that I need to get done. Also, if I feel like taking a day trip but not taking this backpack, which is one of my main pieces of luggage and stuffed full of stuff, it's kind of heavy, I can take the keyboard and my iPhone and head off to some coffee shop, say 10, 15 minutes away, without carrying all of my gear with me.
So I'm going to try to describe this a little bit further. It's very, very thin and very lightweight. It feels like it's made out of aluminum, and it has kind of a matte texture, matte finish on it. It feels very velvety, and it's mostly charcoal color with white letters. And so this would serve as a keyboard with a phone, and the keyboard itself is pretty large in terms of your finger spacing, so there'd be no cramping. That is really cool.
Yeah, it's a great device. I've had this now for, I would say, 2 years, and I've never had a technical fail. Uh-huh. So as a form of backup, I find it to be very cheap insurance, because as you can see in person, this is lightweight enough that I'm not going to get scoliosis for having this as an additional piece of gear. I just stick it into a large format journal or even a magazine, and I can travel with it.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so it pairs up like through Bluetooth, I imagine, right?
That's right.
Right, and so you can pair it up to an iPad if you wanted to, as well as a phone if you happen to be carrying.
Definitely.
Yeah. So what's that called again?
This is a Logitech Bluetooth keyboard.
Okay.
And we'll put the exact model in the show notes for everybody. And next up we have, these all kind of travel together. I very rarely take these out of my backpack in this case. This is Max Earplugs silicone earplugs, which unlike foam earplugs are not inserted into the ear canal and then left to expand. These are effectively smeared over the ear opening, and you have in all caps, do not insert, just cover ear opening. These I found through swimmers, in fact, and they are very waxy and almost look like candies, some type of caramel, but they're white colored. And I find them to block sound much more effectively than any type of foam earplug, although there are some good ones on the market, to be sure.
Do you use them just once, or can they be reused or recycled, or they last a little bit, then you have to, they get grungy, or what's their use?
I definitely reuse these. I would say, if I had to guesstimate, I would say 4 to 5 nights, and then they start to lose their adherence because they get less tacky over time. The most important feature or benefit that I don't want to overlook is that as someone who tends to rotate from back to side, so I sleep on my back and on my side, foam earplugs will very often hurt. They'll get pushed into your ear when you roll onto your side. That is not the case with these. So
for side sleepers, these are a real cool tool because it allows you to sleep on your side while you have these earplugs in.
Definitely. And even as someone who kind of tosses and turns, in my case, I don't tend to wake up on my side, but I'm constantly going onto my side, and foam earplugs often will wake me up.
Okay, cool. And is this mostly just used for sleeping, or can you use these, or do you use these for other sorts of sound abatement?
These earplugs live in each of my bags that I tend to travel with. So I have redundant caches of earplugs, one in this bag, one in my other bag, and sometimes I'll even have them in jackets.
But mostly for sleeping?
Mostly for sleeping, definitely.
Or if you're sitting on an airplane and you're trying to read and just want to drown out the sound,
then you can use them as well, for sure. Or you're swimming and you want to avoid swimmers.
Swimmers, okay, right. Cool. Okay, so what's your fourth cool tool?
My fourth cool tool, and I might go over slightly here, but my fourth cool tool is a neck pillow. And
I want one of those.
I've tried many different neck pillows.
Yeah.
Most of them are very uninspiring and even less effective for helping me sleep. This, and I'll do my best here, Cabeau, I believe is the pronunciation, C-A-B-E-A-U, and it has Evolution Pillow written on the side. And you can see that it compresses down very nicely.
It's the size of a, what do you call it?
Cantaloupe? Like a small, like a small cantaloupe or a large grapefruit. And you can certainly compress it more. And the actual bag that it comes in allows you to wrap it up and then compress it down to a smaller size. And it is just very nice, in essence, memory foam neck pillow that also clips in the front. What I've found is not only does it help me sleep if I'm sitting upright, but it's also very, very helpful for getting to sleep when I'm laying prone, whether it's on an airplane or even in a hotel room, if the pillows are of dubious quality.
And do you have to inflate this with like pumping air in, blowing air into it, or is it self-expanding?
It's self-expanding. You could think of it almost like a sponge-like material that you can compress down, and then when you release it, it inflates, or I should say rather expands automatically.
And is it one of those horseshoe shape items, or is it just a little kind of wedge that sits behind your neck?
It is a horseshoe-shaped, if you imagine a horseshoe being hung around the back of your neck, that is the shape. It can clip in the front, and the design is such that there's a ridge that supports basically the occipital area at the base of the skull.
So it's very ergonomic in that sense.
It is. It's the most comfortable neck pillow that I have found, and so I am.
It's pretty light. It's a little bulky, but it's pretty light.
Yeah, it's light, and as far as neck pillows go, not very bulky at all.
Yeah.
But if you're going to have a neck pillow, generally speaking, in my experience at least, it's going to be inflatable and quite uncomfortable, or you're going to end up with this type of compromise, and this is the best I've found.
Right. So it does, I mean, it could pretty easily disappear into a day pack.
Oh, I think it absolutely could. And certainly, if you wanted, you could lash this to the outside of a pack.
Right.
I happen to have enough space in my bag, so I include it, but you could lash it or hang it on the outside.
Okay. I think I like to... I mean, sometimes you have the privilege of flying first class and you can lay down, but other times if you're stuck in the economy, then you really need one of these things to sleep in a seat.
Yeah, I do. I do, at least. Yeah. And the last thing I'll mention, and then I want to ask you about an app that you have, which is very, very different. So another app that I use a lot when I'm traveling, and I use it at home as well, is called Apnea Trainer. And I don't use it for its intended use. So I have an off-label use. But Apnea Trainer is used by people who are training for free diving and want to improve their breath hold times. And there are different types of tempos that you can use for different types of training. So there's pranayama breathing, there is the apnea breathing, which would say be a ratio of inhale, hold, exhale, or inhale, hold, exhale, hold. So you might have something like 5 seconds in, 10 second or 20 second hold, 10 second exhale. So it's a 1-4-2 ratio. And what I found is that if I only have, say, 5 to 10 minutes, and I don't have time for my usual morning meditation, which I like to do, which is generally something like transcendental meditation of 20 minutes, that 5 to 10 minutes, or 5 minutes, let's just say, of breathing training with a voice that will count down for you is very much grounding for the rest of the day.
So it's like kind of like a substitute to meditation, because you're focused on your breath, but you're focused on kind of holding your breath, not just sort of breathing regularly.
That's right. Yeah. And I would say it is meditation, but it's a guided breathing meditation that has the side effect of performance enhancement, if that's what you're going for. And obviously, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the internet. So people who are listening, especially you crazy haphazard males, do not use this right before you go into the water, and don't try to break any personal records holding your breath without very, very qualified supervision, because you can die with shallow water blackouts and other issues. I use this just as a kickstart to my day.
Right. So the worst, you're sitting in maybe a position or something, the worst that could happen is you'd fall over.
That's right. Yeah. I'm just sitting on a hotel bed or a hotel couch generally.
Right. That's super. And that's called, again,
Apnea Trainer. What is the app that you have on your phone that you were showing me earlier today?
Yeah, so I have a little tiny app on my iPhone. I think it's on Android as well. It's called, I know it is, it's called My Tracks. And what it does is it makes a GPS log for our travel, wherever you're going. And the important thing is it does it without having to have cellular service somewhere, because in these foreign countries, I don't normally turn my cell phone service off, but it's still getting GPS signals. And just with that information, it's enough to create a GPS log of a journey. And the advantage to that is, one, you have a record of your journey that you can import into Google Earth just with a KML format. But more importantly, if you have a camera that has a clock in, as they all do these days, you can synchronize your clock to the local time, and you'll have a way to timestamp and geotag your photographs. So the software will look at the timestamp for a particular photograph, and then it'll show you the exact coordinates where that photograph was taken. So I don't have to remember where was I when I took that photograph. I can just import that into Lightroom or something, and it's going to show me the geographical locations for every one of my photographs.
And so I found this fascinating, and it also begged the question for me. Let's just say you're going on an excursion through the Grand Canyon or going on an extended trip overseas. Is there a potential safety element where that data could be then pinged back to some type of service that can monitor your last known whereabouts if you go MIA, which if you are a developer of this app or know the developer, would love to know the answer or if there's something similar that's available. But I thought that was a very, very cool app.
That would be really cool if you could live stream basically your location to, you know, permitted interested parties. So that you, and I would just have to imagine that there would be an app that did that somewhere.
Yeah, you'd think there must be one available somewhere. And one other cool tool that you have, which is more common here than I would have expected, but in retrospect, I shouldn't be surprised. It is very, very hot here. It can get very, very hot, and the sun is extremely powerful to the extent that we visited a solar furnace not long ago that can be used to melt various objects at absurdly high temperatures.
3,000 degrees centigrade.
Yeah, exactly. You have... Well, our guide has, our esteemed guide has an umbrella. Smart move to create shade wherever he wants it. And you have an umbrella, but you made a modification to your umbrella.
Yeah. So I just had an ordinary, cheap, you know, Chinese black, really compact umbrella that I carry in my little camera bag all the time. And I spray painted the top of it silver so that it reflects the light. And it makes it a little bit cooler on the inside because just with a black umbrella, it tends to absorb that infrared and re-radiate it back down on your head. Having a silver reflective layer bounces at least, you know, 60% of that back into the sky. And it's a lot cooler. And there are versions of the silver umbrella that are extremely lightweight. They're not as collapsible as the ones I have, but they're made for hiking. They're I think it's called like the Silver Dome, if I'm not mistaken, and they weigh only a few ounces. And people out west, if you're climbing even at the high altitudes, a lot of the long distance hikers now carry an umbrella, portable shade, and they walk along under the shade. The shade follows them, and it really makes a huge difference when you're backpacking. Because you can really work up a sweat, and the hat doesn't allow your head to cool off, but the umbrella does.
Yes, I've had umbrella envy since I landed on this trip. And Kevin, I've had so much fun. I've wanted to travel with you for ages overseas, and here we are. So yeah, I'm really glad that it came together.
Yeah, and Tim, thanks for your great cool tool reviews. And where can people who never heard of Tim Ferriss find out what you're up to? And by the way, what are you up to next?
I have a new TED Talk that should be coming out shortly, very personal, and talks about fighting off the dark moments and overcoming self-doubt and so on. So it's a very personal journey through how to overcome some of those darker and even dangerous moments. And
Tim Ferriss at TEDx or TED.
Yeah, if people search Tim Ferriss TED Talk, they will be able to find at least one, potentially two, if including the new one. And I'll be giving away several hundred pages of my favorite Stoic writing, along with modern essays that I've added in, and new artwork, and original commissioned illustrations and calligraphy, all sorts of fun stuff. I'll be giving all that away for free in three volumes called the Tao of Seneca. So people can just search The Tao of Seneca, free book. They should be able to also find it on Amazon, and that should be available, I would say, in early to mid-June.
And that's going to be orderable on Amazon and on your website?
Should be available on Amazon, should be available via PDF. I'm just going to unleash it into the wild, and they can certainly go to tim.blog to find everything related to the projects that I'm up to, as well as those ebooks and PDFs and everything else.
Tim.log?
Tim.log.
Oh, blog. Okay, Tim.blog.
Yeah, Tim.blog. It's a lot easier to spell than previous URLs. And Kevin, for people who don't know how to find you and want to learn more, where can they find you?
I'm kk.org, kk.org, O-R-G.
Did you say kk.pork?
Yeah. <I'm just kidding. laughs> It's the air pressure. Our ears are not working after the descent.
And anything that you're working on that you'd like people to check out?
Well, I have the paperback version of my book, The Inevitable, which is being launched in June. So it's pre-order for $12. It's cheaper than printing it out yourself. So go there at Amazon, and in June I'll be talking a little bit more about the updated version, which is not updated. So I haven't changed my mind about anything in the last 12 months about the coming 20 years. So I stand by everything I said. Now it's in paperback.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, and thank you, Tim.
Many adventures ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So you have another cool tool to talk about. In fact, it's kind of like just about in my mouth. It's up against my face. Tell me, what is this thing?
So I get that response a lot. So this is the Yellowtech IXM microphone. And I travel with this almost always. It is, let's see, what would you compare this to? I would say if you took 6D batteries and laid them end to end, perhaps.
Like an old-fashioned flashlight.
Yeah, or an old-fashioned flashlight. This is a microphone that can capture just tremendous quality of audio. It automatically equalizes, and it has playback buttons on the side. It all records to an SD card that's inserted in the bottom, and it's battery powered so that you can take it on the road. Everything is contained in this and housed in this one unit that then goes in a tiny zip-up bag. So this just lives really inside my backpack. So if I don't have a chance or don't to bring more gear or don't want to bring more gear, I can use this at any time, anywhere, and right,
so
shazam.
So you might record an introduction to one of your podcasts from the back of a car going over the mountain pass in Uzbekistan, right? And so you'd be able to just pull it out and record it, and it would have as good a quality as any real digital studio might.
It very often does. I've recorded podcast intros in airplane bathrooms before, just certainly not ideal. But you can really get away with murder with this device, and it makes up for a lot of environmental factors that could otherwise really screw things up. And also, if you're on the move and you happen to, say, bump into someone who is fascinating, in my case, and I say, you know, would you mind if I ask you just a few questions? And they're up for it, you can really, on the drop of a dime, capture these moments that would otherwise be lost.
Right, and so just to emphasize, this is a microphone that has a built-in recording device into the handle of it, so it's all in one. It's more than a microphone, it's a recording device, a digital recording device, built into a microphone.
That's right, and then when I'm done recording, I would pop out this SD card, I would slap it into a laptop when I have access to one, and drop the file then into a Dropbox folder, which would sync at the first opportunity to connect to Wi-Fi. And then that is available to my team. So I could send a link to that Dropbox through Slack to my team and off to the races. Right. They have the interview files, they have the intro files, whatever it might be, and then it can all be polished for publication.
So it's in some kind of a ways, except for the ambient sound, it's a portable recording studio.
Oh, it absolutely is a portable recording studio, and I think that some of my best audio that has appeared, say, on the podcast has come from this mic, and people find it hard to believe because they'll ask which studio I use in San Francisco, and I'll say, my bedroom and a handheld mic, that's my studio.
That's really great. It's a really cool tool. Again, can you give me kind of a range of the price just so we have some idea? We'll have show notes about the actual particular model, but just give it a little bit of a range.
Yeah, if I had to guess on this, it's been a long time since I looked at the pricing, but I would say it's somewhere between $400 and $700. It's not cheap, but when I consider the alternatives, let's just say the H6 Zoom, which is the general recorder that I use with the XLR cables and the stage mics and everything else involved, you're getting into a similar price range or above. This just offers a lot more convenience in terms of its form factor.
And I have to tell you, Tim travels light. He's not an ultralight traveler, but a very lightweight traveler with very minimal bags. And this is one of the things that you pack. So it's very impressive that it's light enough, small enough, that even when you're not packing much else, you can fit this into it, even if you are a very weight-conscious traveler.
Definitely. And I mean, there are other alternatives. I had enough space to pack also a Rode IXY microphone, which is intended to be connected via lightning port to, say, an iPhone. So I am testing different alternatives to compare sound quality, but thus far, the Yellowtech IXM has not let me down, so I'll continue using it until I find a superior solution.
Definitely a cool tool. Thanks.
Hey guys, this is Tim again. Just a few more things before you take off. Number one, this is Five Bullet Friday. Do you want to get a short email from me? Would you enjoy getting a short email from me every Friday that provides a little morsel of fun before the weekend? And Five Bullet Friday is a very short email where I share the coolest things I've found or that I've been pondering over the week. That could include favorite new albums that I've discovered. It could include gizmos and gadgets and all sorts of weird shit that I've somehow dug up in the world of the esoteric as I do. It could include favorite articles that I've read and that I've shared with my close friends, for instance. And it's very short. It's just a little tiny bite of goodness before you head off for the weekend. So if you want to receive that, check it out. Just go to 4hourworkweek.com. That's 4hourworkweek.com, all spelled out, and just drop in your email and you will get the very next one. And if you sign up, I hope you enjoy it. This episode is brought to you by Trunk Club. There are two types of men out there. You know who you are. Guys who love shopping for clothes but are short on time, category A. And those of you who hate it, category B. I am in the latter category. My fashion sense is also probably somewhere between homeless and confused, with a dash of lazy added in. Either way, you can take heart. And I've used Trunk Club now and have found some of my favorite pieces of clothing that make me look a lot better than I would be able to handle on my own. And there are many reasons for that. But you can get clothing that fits perfectly and looks amazing without ever stepping into a store again, thanks to Trunk Club. And they make it very, very easy. And the clothing is handpicked by a personal stylist, your own personal stylist. All you have to do is go to trunkclub.com/Tim, type in your measurements, share your likes and dislikes. They'll pick your clothes from more than 80 top brands and ship them right to your door. You keep what you like, you send back what you don't. If you don't like any of it, send it all back. Doesn't matter. And Trunk Club is not a subscription service. This is what appealed to me among many other things. I didn't want to constantly be getting dinged by things or have to deal with the headache of constantly getting boxes. It's not a subscription service. Shipping is always free and you have 5 days to try on the clothes. So, a couple of points here. Number one, get started today. Go to trunkclub.com/Tim. Try it out. You get premium clothes, expert advice, no work, no risk. That is a winning combo, and I have found some of my favorite espadrilles, shoes from them, bright green. I do like the color green, and they actually work. I've had so many compliments on these shoes, and more people ask me where I got them than any other pair of shoes I've ever had. And more shirts. I ended up keeping about, I would say, 3/4 of my box, which I did not expect to do. So go to trunkclub.com/Tim and check it out. This episode is brought to you by WordPress, my go-to platform for blogging, writing online, creating websites, everything. I love WordPress to bits. My site, every site just about that I have, is run on WordPress. And the lead developer of WordPress, Matt Mullenweg, has appeared on this podcast many times. The very first episode in particular is amazing. The second, I took a ton of notes on, so you should check it out. But WordPress, where do I even begin? I mean, The New Yorker uses it, Jay-Z, Beyonce, they use it, 538, TechCrunch, TED, CNN, Time. Whether you are looking to create a personal blog, a business site, both, neither, something else, you'll make a huge impact when you build your website on WordPress.com. And directly from some friends at Google, I'm not going to quote them by name, but they say that WordPress offers the best out-of-the-box SEO, the search engine optimization imaginable. So if you're on WordPress, you immediately have a leg up on everybody else on search engines and so forth. In my experience, I'm no medical doctor of search engine optimization, but I will say that I used WordPress for years and fell in love with it to the extent that I became very close friends with Matt and then became an investor /advisor to automatic, which runs WordPress.com. That is how much I believe in this, and that's how a lot of my most successful products and investments have come about, because I'm in love with X, and then I seek out X. Nearly 30% of the internet is run on WordPress. And that includes everything from the huge sites that I mentioned to neighborhood sites. And it is super easy to get started. There's no need to worry about security or upgrades or hosting. They offer 24/7 support and handle all of that, which allows you to focus on creating the highest quality content that you can with the least amount of friction. I don't want to have to worry about downtime. I don't want to have to worry about getting emergency emails if I'm on vacation or something like that. And WordPress is my go-to solution for all of this. I trust all of my most important text on the internet to WordPress. And they can't buy that with a sponsorship. They can't buy that with anything. I want uptime, 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 and quality. And that is what I have selected after everything that I've looked at. So check it out. Go to WordPress. That's WordPress.com. WordPress.com/Tim to receive 15% off of your website today. That's WordPress.com/Tim.